Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101. This is Harmon. Oh boy, what a week. What a week this has been. We were originally going to rebroadcast this episode on the history of the Comedy Central roast when Donald Trump's tax returns were revealed in the New York Times, just because of how arrogant Trump was to the writers. He firmly told the writers of the Comedy Central roast, the comedy writers, that they couldn't make any jokes about his finances or being in debt or bankruptcy. And now we know why, from his tax returns. But that was roughly a week ago. Then we had the off-the-rail debates, followed by Trump now having coronavirus after mocking people who wear masks. Holy fuckballs. But we'll dive into more of that within this episode. Before we jump in, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, next Thursday, October 8th, 8 p.m. on Twitch, I'll be doing my show Jokey Okey, stand-up comedy karaoke in a three-round game show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/comedyhistory101. And now, without further ado, find out the hell the writers of the Comedy Central roast went through when they had a deal with Donald Trump.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
This dais is the perfect metaphor for where America stands today. Look at our economy, barely moving, gasping for air, and desperately clinging to life, very much like Larry King. The only difference is, with Larry, we have a never-ending supply of gas. Never ends.
Ew. Kind of right. just, that was, okay, so that was back in 2011, and right. it just makes my teeth hurt just listening to, like, words come out of his mouth.
Yeah, no, this is bad in all sorts of ways.
So what you just heard there was a clip from the Comedy Central roast of Donald J. Trump, which took place in 2011. And once again, as always, welcome to
Comedy History 101,
where we give you the history of comedy. And with me today, I'm Harmon Leon, and with me today, as always, is Scott Colonico. How are you, Scott?
Ich bin fine. That was like my German robot. I did mean to be a robot too, just German.
Ah, call back to the early days of the podcast when you would always talk in the robot voice. That's very interesting. Well. And you're moving to Berlin, so we get the joke. That is very funny. By the way, Scott, we have a new tagline for our podcast.
Well, what's that?
Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy.
That's pretty good because you're working on the school thing. Don't we have another new thing about the podcast you were going to mention, Harmon?
Oh, yes. We are now officially on the website, comedyhistory101.com. That's where you can find us.
Not quite yet, but we will be, come June, you'll be able to find us at comedyhistory101.com. You shouldn't have to do anything with your feed or your browsers. It should all be automagic. But if you're looking for us, that's where you'll be able to find us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So anyways, to get us right back up to speed, that was a clip from the comp. This was 2011, where Comedy Central thought, let's roast that. I don't know. Was he ironic then? Was he just sort of a laughable joke? But they decided in 2011, let's roast Donald Trump.
Donald, you are gross. Nobody likes you, but you come back every couple years and nobody knows why. You're like the McRib.
Well, he was a pretty big star, you know, quote, star, unquote, at that time for The Apprentice, because The Apprentice had been on for a while and was still on when they did this show as well.
Yeah, I believe it was the last year of The Apprentice. It was 2011 was the last year. I believe The Apprentice started maybe 2004.
Yeah, and so, but this by this time, it like, you know, degenerated into Celebrity Apprentice with one of our other subjects on Comedy History 101, Andrew Dice Clay. I think who did he get? Like, he got into an argument with somebody on there.
Meatloaf? I don't know. I actually never really watched the show.
No, neither do I.
And that was and we'll get into this later when Obama was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner and he did a send up of Trump and talked about all the problems that Trump is faced to address, such as, you know, solving an argument between Meatloaf and Little John. But what we just saw was the roast of Donald Trump on Comedy Central, 2011. It was hosted by Seth MacFarlane.
You're a grown man. You got hair like Dennis the Menace. What's going on here? Did you fall headfirst into a cotton candy machine? What happened?
And included such roasters as Snoop Dogg, Larry King, Lisa Lampanelli, Marlene Matlin, who won an Academy Award. I think she was on Celebrity Apprentice. Was that the connection?
I guess that must have been, yeah. She was our first hearing impaired Academy Award winner.
Yeah, that's right. Gilbert Godfrey, who was probably the only one who was really actually good on the roast.
Donald always says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy the best Eastern European whores New York City has to offer.
And of course, now just there's always someone who just like you're not too sure. Jersey Shore's Mike the Situation Sorrentino. Yes. If I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I believe so, yes.
So, yeah, and who actually, first of all, Scott, what was your overall take of watching the entire roast?
Well, I mean, first off, I'm going to go on record as saying I'm on two minds on roasts here. Number one, don't really like televised roasts, especially the Comedy Central ones. You know, the Dean Martin's ones from the 70s and the 60s, I can kind of stand. These, I don't...
Well, that's because you had Don Rickles.
Yeah, Don
Rickles. I think all roasts need Don Rickles.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be called roasts anymore. They should be called Don Rickles, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we're going to give them the Rickles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was my take on it. Was just like, the thing is, really good roasts, you'll never be able to televise. That's my kind of point of view on these things, you know?
Because they're racist?
Well, they're racist, and they just dig into people, and they, you know, they're a little Ted Danson and blackface. They're digging into people, you know, pretty harshly. And these TV ones, to me, they're just kind of boring, and I'm not much of a joke guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm more of a situation guy. And roasts are really all about the jokes. And I think the thing with the roasts is if the jokes seem spontaneous. Like on the Dean Martin ones, they did seem pretty spontaneous. As to these Comedy Central things, you know, you've got a whole, you know, you got what, like 20 writers working on these things? I'm sure we'll be getting to that. But that's my overall take of it.
I think you're right. I mean, it's like with these Comedy Central roasts, just in general, you got people who don't really know the person that's being roasted or vice versa. So therefore, you know, do you think Jersey Shore's Mike's The Situation was, you know, the weeks building up to this, sitting down with pen and notebook, crafting out, you know, quippy lines? You know, he doesn't know them, and they're just there to basically read a writer's material. And even with Trump at the end, it's just like, he was just doing this very Trump thing when Trump reads from a teleprompter, being if it's a speech, or at the end when he was doing his rebuttal, you can tell he's reading it, and then he'll take a moment and comment on it.
America is going through tough times, and we all need to laugh. True.
Right. Like, he'll read a line, like, at the end. He was, like, reading a line, and then he'll pull back as himself and go, that's true. Yeah. You know well, what I mean?
Well, I think we're gonna get into that pretty in detail later, right?
So anyways, yeah. what we saw is, like, which is very interesting, is you kind of see an evolution of Donald J. Trump. Back then, he wasn't so thin-skinned. And we'll get into about the writing process of this, but for the most part, he just sat there with kind of a fixed, smug smile on his face and, you know, went along with it in a way. He didn't appear. He didn't do the, Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing where, Michelle Wolf is roasting her and she's just like, look how angry I am. At yeah. least in some sort of part, he looked like he could take a joke. Or he could take the jokes that fit under the parameters which he set for the writers to write.
Exactly, exactly.
Because there were a lot of those, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the very opening of the roast?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was almost like watching a little bit of the Apprentice. You know, you've got the familiar Trumpian touchstones. You've got the branded Trump helicopter. You've got the brief but pointed glance from the young blonde who shares his limo ride to Trump Tower. And then, of course, as Donald leaves, he does get a kiss from a beauty queen. So that segues into Trump running into theater in a golden golf cart flanked by sash-wearing models amid a shower of cash. Being every impression of being on board with the joke, but reveling in it.
Yeah, so basically, you know, they're trying to create this Trump mythology. It's like, look at me, I'm riding in, all the women love me, and I'm riding in, just look, I have beauty queens, and I'm throwing around money. You know, and which I actually heard from the guys who actually created The Apprentice. They brought Donald when they're first devising the TV show The Apprentice. It was sort of a joke that they were portraying Trump in the same way as they portrayed him in the opening of the Comedy Central roast. Because at that point, I believe 2004, when The Apprentice started, he was just sort of known as the guy whose all his businesses go bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of went into this, I think in some of the stuff we'd written for Vanity Fair, videos and stuff we'd made, it was like, yeah, by that time, he was not financially in the best shape, and the way he kind of started turning himself around was that he started making himself a name again off the show, and then taking his name and branding that, you know, doing license deals with his name, and that's how he kind of started turning himself around.
Yeah, he doesn't own any of those buildings. He's just kind of like, you know, he just licensed to have his name on the building.
Right,
because
exactly.
Whoever owns the building thinks that will up the brand of their structure. But yeah, like, so I was reading this thing about the Apprentice creators, and they just thought the joke of him riding down on a gold escalator in the opening of The Apprentice, much like he did to kick off his campaign. So that's what we got. And in true Trump fashion, at that beginning where he rides in on a gold golf cart and models are throwing money in the air, Trump actually complained that the woman who was supposed to hand him his coat on stage wasn't hot enough. So Comedy Central, to appease Trump, moved the actress elsewhere. So it's, she's a pig like Rosie. Can you just put her on? Trump wouldn't be seen. You know, he likes to refer to himself in the third person. Yeah. Which,
I wouldn't date her like my daughter.
Yeah, exactly. So why would Trump do this? Why would he allow himself to be insulted for 90 minutes on Comedy Central? And mind you, this was 2011, and in 2012, he was throwing in his bid to run for president, his first bid, which he didn't follow through with.
Right.
This was him in his mind, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to run for president.
Yeah, I think so. And he's been teasing, man. He's literally been teasing this since the 80s. So, I mean, running for president. So, you know, wasn't that much of a surprise, you know. And of course, what everybody says, Trump loves to hear people talk about him. You know, it's like this like when he goes in and he reads newspapers, the first thing he's doing is scanning for any story with his name in it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So once he agreed to do the Comedy Central roast, there were demands made. Like Trump demanded that their jokes could imply he was not as rich as he seemed. That was deemed off limits. The roasters had to refer to him as – they couldn't refer to him as Donald. They couldn't refer to him as Trump. He demanded that the roasters refer to him as Mr. Trump, which is fucking weird.
Yeah. those guys have dealt with – the writers there dealt with like a lot of, you know, pretty big celebrities, and they were all saying that nobody else had asked for that.
Yeah, so let's say, you know, earlier, like, Hugh Hefner was being roasted. He wasn't referred to as Mr. Hefner. They didn't demand that everyone call him Mr. Hefner. That would be weird. Like, same with, like, probably one of the more famous Comedy Central roasts was William Shatner. He didn't demand to be referred to as Mr. Shatner.
Yeah, sorry,
that, I know, it's just fucking weird.
Yeah, it's weird, and then that kind of, I think, you know, that kind of denigrates this as a roast. You know, you've already got the host coming in saying, oh, here's what you can and you can't do. Oh, by the way, call me Mister. It's like, come on, dude, that's not a roast.
Yeah, they should be able to call. I mean, if it was in true roast fashion, they should be able to call him, you know, orange Dorito fucking
orange
bloated
fuck,
face.
Fuck face. Fuck.
stupid orange fuck pants.
Yeah, whatever, you should be able to,
you know,
call him that.
That's
the
part
roast
of the roast. But wait, no.
Pants.
Okay. So already it's already on uncomfortable terms with, you know, the people writing the roast. Obviously, hair jokes were off limits, according to Trump. He demanded that hair jokes were made to be off limits. The writers did manage to have Trump do one hair joke, but the twist of the joke was it revealed how much money he wanted to tell the world that he had.
What's the difference between a wet raccoon and Donald J. Trump's hair? A wet raccoon doesn't have $7 billion fucking dollars in the bank.
Look how rich I am.
I am so rich. And even that, there was two great articles on the writing process of the Comedy Central roast was, in Trump fashion, they had to negotiate the amount. First, it was saying, the writers first wrote, does a raccoon have millions in the bank? And then they had to change it to billions. And then Trump demanded that they say 10 billion.
Yeah.
And then they had to negotiate it down to 7.
Yeah, they were saying it was like they're doing a business deal over a joke. You know, it was just like.
Like, what does it matter if you say 2 billion or 10, you know, or 7?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why did it have to be, you know, Mr. Trump makes more than that?
Yeah.
And you can't make jokes about I'm not as rich as I am.
Yeah,
but I demand that the writers say I'm richer than I am.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. But then, you know, this was like one of their highest, if not the highest ratings they got for one of these roasts.
Are you sure about that? Or is that according to Trump? Because he also said, and we'll get into this later on, in 2004, when the actual Friars Club did roast it, in his closing remarks, he stated that this was the highest attended Friars Club ever. And then as we go back to the inauguration, kind of an ongoing theme.
Yeah, you know, this is actually, I believe it was somebody from Comedy Central. This is not a Trump thing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
Was this at the time it was the highest rated? Or
at the time.
In retrospect, now people have tuned into it as, you know, more than any other roast.
At the time, it was one of the highest rated, if not the highest. And this was actually from one of those New York Times articles, I believe. So I'll find the reference during a commercial break.
We'll post it on our site, which will be the new comedyhistory101.com site. It was weird. So also in attendance was Melania and Ivanka, which you'd often there'd be who made the joke about how they made the typical Trump wants to sleep with Ivanka joke, and then they cut away to Ivanka. That's kind of weird.
Well, yeah, that's.
But the weird part was seeing Melania, because I don't think I've ever seen her laugh since Trump has been president. And she laughed at one joke. I think it was a Lisa Lampanelli joke.
But that's all behind him now. Donald is very happy with his lovely wife, insert name here.
I don't think I've ever seen her laugh.
I think part of the reason I hate those cutaways because they always look so forced.
Like the cutaways look forced or their reactions look forced?
Both, you know? It's just like, it just looks so staged. I think that's kind of part of what bugs me about it.
Yeah, and so what's really interesting about the Comedy Central roast, which was 2011, that was the same year of the famous White House Correspondents' Dinner hosted by Seth Meyers, where Obama came up. And Trump was in the audience, and Obama, with his great comedy, relaxed timing, roasted Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is here tonight. Now, I know that he's taken some flack lately, but no one is happier, no one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? And where are Biggie and Tupac?
And that was said to be the Trump origin story that actually made him run for president. And then, as we see, as a president, he tries to burn down every single accomplishment that Obama has achieved.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But Obama, those are great jokes. Those are great jokes that Obama had. The one just like, you know, about like the whole birther thing.
What a week. As some of you heard, the state of Hawaii released my official long-form birth certificate. Hopefully, this puts all doubts to rest. But just in case there are any lingering questions, tonight, I'm prepared to go a step further. Tonight, for the first time, I am releasing my official birth video.
I mean, it's not only, of course, you know, he didn't write all those, but he just, you know, just his delivery is so much better. You get the feeling that he could have written them. You know,
Yeah. So again, from a story I wrote for Vice, I interviewed Bill Clinton's head speechwriter, like all through when Clinton was in office, and his takeaway of Obama was that he looks like a guy really enjoying reading great material. It's actually the guy who is now head of comedy at Funny or Die was Obama's speechwriter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or head speechwriter. Yeah. I tried to interview him for my Vice story, and he actually did get back to me, but it was after the story was already written. And now he's at Funny or Die. That's what he said about Obama. Obama didn't really have his true comedy voice. He always just looked like a guy really enjoying reading great comedy material. But that material was so great. But it was like, you know, this is probably within Is it confirmed that the Comedy Central roast came before the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Do you happen to know?
No.
Yeah, if anyone listening happens to know, just let us know. And I'm sure it'd be great if we researched this, but, you know, shit happens.
Okay, hold on. Because the Correspondents' Dinner is always at the same time. It's always in...
So it's like around now, because it was just like we just had it within the last month. So
actually, so it might have been around the same time. So it looks like the air date was March 15th, 2011. Wow.
Mm-hmm. For the Comedy Central roast?
The Comedy Central roast was taped on March 9th, 2011.
Ah, so the Comedy Central roast did come first before the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But it's just so funny how Trump went from, you know, sort of thick skin to very, very thin skin at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I remember the first time watching that clip, and it just felt so tense when they cut away to Trump being roasted by Obama.
Well, I think in this case you have, you know, because what we've seen a little bit of is you have Trump going in and saying, okay, you can make jokes about this and this and this, and that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is what happened is when he doesn't know what's coming. You know, he doesn't
exactly.
He's being fought fairly. You know, he's being roasted fairly.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you go even farther back to 2004, he was roasted at the Friars Club at the New York Hilton Ballroom, and they went even harder. I mean, that seemed like they were actually roasting him, because they were like, oh, from this New York Times article I read, it seemed like nothing was off limits. It didn't seem like they were told what not to do. There was, you know, a series of jokes about his bankruptcies. His casinos have seen better days, to his fiance, Melania. I think one of the jokes there were Melania and her friends couldn't go play in their bouncy house after
wedding.
Something like that. To, you know, jokes about his infamous comb over. One of the roasters just said it's just plain bizarre. So it seemed like nothing in 2004 was off limits.
All right, Donald, you know, let's talk about the hair. Everybody says don't talk about the hair. It's been talked about, but you got to talk about the hair. I don't even know what that thing is. It looks like a raccoon's pussy. That should be the Trump mirage. Cy Sperling called. He said, you're the new president. Let's talk about those inflated finances of yours. How the hell do you go broke running a casino? You could lose money selling pussy to Dick Cheney's daughter. Everything he puts his name on loses money. The Trump sign is like a 50% off tag.
Oh, just a footnote. One of the roasters that night, do you know who? Abe Vigoda.
Oh, of Fish, of Barney Miller to Thane.
Yeah, I think his line was, there was always that joke for years. He's passed away now, but there was always this joke with Abe Vigoda that he was dead, but he was still alive. And I think that was his joke. I'm Abe Vigoda, and I'm not dead yet. But Steve Stone, a longtime friar, told Trump that he read a book about how to be a billionaire and said, but if your father wasn't one first, you'd be a waiter in this hotel, which that seemed like that would be off limits in the Comedy Central roast.
That would have been very off limits in the Comedy Central one.
Or maybe that's why. It was like, he's like, I don't like those jokes. And here's something funny. Lisa Lampanelli, who was both at the Friars Club and on the Comedy Central roast, did one the exact same joke on both. He said, Trump seems very happy with his beautiful fiance, insert name here. She did the same joke, and then there was a cutaway to Melania going, that's so funny. He has a lot of wives. He gets divorced a lot.
I just don't think that's – not that I think it's unfunny. It's just, whatever.
So at the end, did you watch that Friars Club clip where Trump did his rebuttal?
No.
Well, at the end, his rebuttal was, you know, about all the Atlantic City jazz, because that's like right when his casino was going bankrupt in Atlantic City. Trump just had to say about the Atlantic City jabs that night. His rebuttal was, it's doing very well. Just watch.
Now, as far as Atlantic City goes, it's doing very well. Watch. Just watch. You watch.
You watch.
That's right. You'll see. Hold on. I'll do a tweet about it when it's invented.
Yeah.
5 years from now.
Yeah, and it was because of the 2004 Friars Club roast that Jeff Ross, who was, I don't think he was the roast master at the Friars Club, but he was one of the comedians roasting Trump that night, that he asked him to participate in the Comedy Central roast. And Andy Dean, who was a former contestant on The Apprentice and later hired by Trump to run his production company, was very instrumental in convincing Trump to actually participate in the roast. And funny is, like, Jeff Ross, like, told Trump, I guess they're friends. I heard, like, Jeff Ross on a WTF saying he's friends with Trump. He said, you know, go on there and prove that you have thick skin and can take a joke and be a man of the people.
Right.
Yeah. So that was, like, the selling point. So apparently, as we see, he doesn't have thick skin. He can't take a joke. And he's not a man of the people.
Not a man of the people, no.
Unless those people carry tiki torches.
And have gold toilets.
Yeah, exactly. So, once again, though, what I did like in the roast is, like, it showed that in 2011, the thought of Donald Trump running for president was an absolute joke. It's just there were quite a lot of, like, Trump for president jokes, like host Seth MacFarlane advised Trump.
And here's another one. It's pronounced I am fucking delusional, not I am running for president.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop Dogg did have kind of like the one for real dig of the night during the roast.
Donald say he wants to run for president and move on into the White House. Why not? It wouldn't be the first time you pushed a black family out of their home.
There you go. And as we all know from a video we did for Vanity Fair, is that's what Trump and his father Fred often did.
Yeah,
and were sued for it.
They did. And they reached settlements many times.
Yeah, and that joke got a lot of oohs from the audience, and then a cutaway of amused Ivanka covering her face, and all along, Trump just smiles at that joke. Yeah. Like, yep, that's what I did, all right.
Yep.
Me and my father, Fred, who gave me a few millions to start my business. Because
yeah,
I got everything handed to me because I'm a piece of shit.
On a silver platter, yes.
On a silver platter.
Which a lot of people don't know. I wouldn't say a lot of people, but some people don't know that.
No, tell them. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying some people don't know that Trump's dad was one of the richest people in the world at the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. they did push a lot of families out of their homes.
Oh, yes,
Woody Guthrie wrote a song about it.
Yeah. So, his dad might have been in the KKK. Pretty sure.
Yeah, there you go. So, Trump said that he was paid $1 million to participate in the Comedy Central roast, and that's what he told everyone. Others associated with the event said the number was closer to $400,000.
And all that, according to Trump, was going to charity, which we can talk about that here if we want to get into that later, or...
Yeah, no, tell him the joke was it was going to a charity, and he said that charity's me.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like if you watch it, like his comedy timing is so off on it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it comes out as really awkward, and the joke is buried, you know? I mean, it could have been a funny joke, but he just read it wrong. And then as we found out later, that money actually did go to the Donald J. Trump Foundation.
Yeah, is that a charity or?
Yeah, a fake charity that used $10,000 of that money to buy what? A portrait of Donald Trump.
Oh, right, okay. And then pay off other porn stars that we don't know about.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
So, head writer of the Comedy Central roast is actually a guy I know from San Francisco, Ray James. And he, you know, we used to do shows together, and he's the head writer of the roast, and his quote about the whole endeavor was, this is one of those roasts where you feel like you're punching the clock. Mm-hmm. Just months before Trump would decide not to run in the 2012 election race, he was doing battle with roast producers on whether they could make fun of his hair or not.
Yeah.
So what's really funny is, like, you read that article in on Huffington Post, you can actually see the script of jokes, and you can actually see Trump making handwritten comments within the joke script and changing the jokes.
Yeah, in his trademark Sharpie pen.
Yeah. So. Trump's rebuttal that he wrote himself, like, here's a typical joke written by Trump. His rebuttal to an evening of, people roasting him was, they're all losers, and I like associating with losers because it makes me feel even better about myself.
That's very good. Good Trump, Harm, but if I could point out something here, and we'll, of course, link.
No, these. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll link to these in the article. So in the handwritten note, like, you can actually see Trump's grammar, and although you were, I believe you were in the part, you know, you were in the moment, Harmon,
mm-hmm.
but the way it's actually written was, they're all losers, and I like associating with loser. It was just...
Oh, yeah?
What? Yeah. It's like, grammatically, it's all wrong. And it's like, you know, printed in this, like, childish scrawl.
Oh, yeah. That's really good. But the thing was, like, the joke writers, the producers said, like, Trump, he would actually keep the setups to jokes and cross out the punchlines. You know, so it just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like, you know, you would take out the word huge, which we know. We know that Mr. Trump loves huge, and he would just change it to big.
Yeah, so I believe what the producer of the Comedy Central roast said, it represented a classic lack of understanding of how a joke works. And he was just like, some of his, like, changes were just, like, you know, just so arbitrary. Like, he complained a line suggested by Lisa Lampanelli should shut the fuck up didn't end with an exclamation point. So in the handwritten thing, he suggested was, put an exclamation point in there.
Yeah. And then sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, the later version that just got changed, he switched the line to, get off the stage.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, that's colon, question mark.
Yeah, and just other changes, like Trump even suggested changing a line about him being the smartest man in the world to being perhaps the smartest man in the world.
And then, but I think I like this one. The he changing a pretty, you know, not great joke about Seth MacFarlane was the written joke was the only way you'll ever draw a crowd is with a pencil. And here's Trump's edition: the only crowd you'll attract is flies.
Well, that doesn't even make sense because Seth MacFarlane is, you know, the creator of Family Guy, so that's that's the joke.
Why would flies like be drawn to him particularly?
Well, that's just like he smells, so he's going to attract flies. Oh, but okay. The whole point is like
Pigpen in
yeah.
Pigpen on Charlie Brown.
But the whole point is talking about Seth MacFarlane's craft, which is, you know, as an animator. And that's why he's drawing a crowd
with a pen.
The other one's like, yeah, just ridiculous. But I think the favorite thing that he changed was it was a joke about climate change, or it was just it wasn't even a joke about climate change. It was just sort of like a listicle. He was listing things like climate change, and Trump wanted to add a caveat that after listing that, it, just to add the aside, obviously doesn't exist.
I think my favorite one, this is like the best example though, is the one of the roasters was talking about Trump's, you know, he didn't have just a penthouse, he had a space station, right? So the joke was that Trump had a 25,000 square foot penthouse atop his solid gold space station. One of Trump's changes was that the square footage had to be up to 50,000 square feet. And then also he changed the line that read, I'm sorry, I must go now and make $1 million somewhere else. That was a written line. Trump changed that. I'm sorry, I must go now and make $1 billion else somewhere else.
I know, dude. It's like pure just sociopath. It's just like, what? You know, he has to negotiate the figures of a joke.
Yeah.
That add no more humor to the joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just gotta just add, like, he's being roasted. And it's just like, yeah. And again, the joke about his hair could only be made if it also boasted about his wealth.
Yeah.
So originally, the Comedy Central reached out to an assortment of Trump celebrity pals, which included Vince McMahon, who, you know, Trump also would rest in the WWE, you know, famous clip of Trump shaving Vince McMahon's hair during a professional wrestling match. Regis Philbin, who was the MC of the Trump's Friars Club roast, and boxer Mike Tyson, who came out in support of Trump in the last election and they all declined.
Yeah, I mean, this is to touch on, again, Trump from the top, from the boss. They said that only two subjects were going to be off limits during the roast. Trump's past bankruptcies and any suggestion that he wasn't as wealthy as he claimed to be. Which, the point, like, I think they brought up a point where, like, okay, William Shatner, you know, they did a roast for him, and he had something that you couldn't go into, which is, like, one of his wives drowned in his swimming pool at his house. Okay, yeah, fine. I can see that, you know? Yeah, let's not make a joke about your dead wife, you know? But, like, this kind of stuff, it's like, dude, that's why we'd make fun of you. You know, that's exactly what we'd make fun of you for.
Well, it's just like what the people are expecting the roasters to make fun of him about. Uh-huh. And if you watch the entire roast, it just seemed like people made very, very few. Trump actually was roasted only on a minimal portion of what the roaster said. It just seemed like all the humor almost was directed towards the situation.
Right.
When I say Jersey Shore situation.
Oh, this is, yes.
So yeah, I know. It's 2018. He's already forgotten about the lexicon well, of pop culture.
He's actually still around. He was involved in a show with, like, the real reality. I was curious as to what the old situation was up to, and it was called The Real Bridezilla Reality. Oh, here it is. It's Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars. He was on a few episodes.
Oh, where does one see that?
Yeah. And then, Harmon, you can be looking forward to, he'll be returning in Jersey Shore Family Vacation this year.
Oh, is that a movie or is that going to be like
that's
a series?
That's going to be a TV show, man.
All right. But he seemed to be the blunt of the majority of jokes. They seem to be more Jersey Shore jokes than actually Trump jokes throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and apparently they cut a lot of his. I mean, it was so bad they cut a lot of his jokes from the broadcast.
You look like the chicks I used to bang before I had all this money. You're a chick, right?
Okay. Yeah.
On the Jersey Shore, we call ugly chicks grenades, but. I actually wouldn't call you a grenade because you're not blowing up anytime soon.
Oh my God. To me, that was like the best part where he was just eating it. Because his jokes were like, his jokes were similar to jokes like Trump would make. You know, that whole thing of like, punch up rather than punch down. Right. It's like, look at you. I was banging a model last night. Were you?
Yeah, no.
That's like, you know, all the jokes are sort of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like to the point where, like, Jeff Ross had to step in because he was just eating it so bad. But to me, like, part of those roasts is, like, you know, people that aren't comedians doing poorly. I think that's part of the fun. To me, I'd rather watch a half hour of the situation just bombing than, like, say, you know, Whitney Cummings, who was on there, just doing normal jokes.
Yeah, just dude. Maybe we should. Maybe that's our pitch. We could go talk to the sitch. You call him the. Is that what you call him?
The situation. Oh, the sitch. Yeah,
call
maybe.
Him the sitch. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that could be our pitch. He's like him. He would be like the host of the roast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
And another very weird factor was, once again, this was leading up to the 2012 presidential election. So executive producer Joe Gallen spoke with Trump maybe like three or four times in the lead up of production. And Trump would repeatedly ask him, you know, should I enter the presidential race? What do you think, Joel? Should I run? it is the most important decision of this guy's life. You know, and it's just like the producer's like going, why is he asking me that? You know, I don't really even know him. I'm the producer of the Comedy Central roast.
Yeah, no. That was, I think, a good quote. An interesting quote from Gallen was his quote was, "I never took the guy seriously and always thought there wouldn't be any shot in the world." So I would say to him, "Sure, yeah, if this is something that you want to do, give it a shot."
Exactly, being very encouraging. But and again, it just seems like it was just like back in the time when you know, Trump was just an extreme joke, and it's just like, you know, it would almost be on par of Mike the Situation Sorrentino, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, going to Joe Gallen and saying, what do you think? Should I run for president? I think it was just like, you know, you're just another reality star with delusional grandeur, you know?
Maybe, man, that's nice.
But then again, it delusional, I don't know, because he is the current president.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe, you know, maybe we could get the Situation to run for president. Maybe after he becomes a star in our roast show.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's just, he should be the roast master.
Right, okay, I love that, man. The Situation's... Well, we got to come up with a catchy name for it. Let me think about it. We'll come back on another episode of that.
Yeah. So exactly. So how did you think overall the roast went over? Again, the takeaway of how it made you feel, because according to the writers, I believe maybe Ray James said this. Trump never really seemed to have a grasp on what was funny and why it was funny. He was always looking at others for validation if it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, overall, if we'll refer back to my original comment, just thumbs down. It was kind of painful, except for the situation. Wasn't that funny? Not much of a roast, you know. Love me some Jeff Ross. He did what he could. He was pretty amusing.
Well, Gilbert Gottfried was probably the funniest, because Gilbert Gottfried was just being Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah.
Donald always says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy the best Eastern European whores New York City has to offer.
Yeah, so, and just another factor is, like, the writer said Trump sort of packed the room with his kind of people, you know, which made it Trump was himself a difficult participant. It just kind of resistant throughout the show, wearing a tight smile and avoiding eye contact with the others who were on stage. Ray James described his look as a scowling, curled lip of discontent throughout the evening.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you can get. I mean, he's just, yeah, it was, the whole thing was just uncomfortable. And I think it was a blot on the face of roasts, except every roast that doesn't have Don Rickles on it, Don Rickles or Dean Martin, is a blot anyway to me.
Yeah. And then 4 years later, Trump accepted the Republican nomination.
Yep.
basically the summary of you know, the writers of the roast, you know, completely agree with what you just said. And just another good quote was, the amount of shit we knew how awful he was just above the surface part of the iceberg. Yeah. It has been since that, it really has come out what a diabolical bag of dicks he is. We hit him as hard as we could with what we knew at the time.
Yeah, which really wasn't, you know, hats off to them, but, you know, the cards were stacked against them from the get-go.
Yeah, and if you could redo it again, you know, instead of making jokes about his hair and his false sense of wealth, other topics, if you and I, Scott, were producers of the Comedy Central Roast 2018 of Donald Trump, a few jabs we could insert is like his way he incites political violence, or his how much of a serial liar he is, or his rampant racism. Xenophobia, yeah. his misogyny, all the birther shit that he come out.
Or, you know, just grab him by the pussy, you know?
Grab him by the pussy, the porn stars that he pays off, all the crooked people that he surrounds him with who are being indicted and probably are going to go to prison. Who else is going to go to prison?
Oh my God! Imagine if
he tries to disrupt the whole Constitution by undermining the credibility of, like, say, the FBI and the CIA and the whole system, for that matter. Constantly blurts out fake news. See, this would be the perfect time for a Donald Trump roast.
I know. With the situation, that's what I was trying to get in there.
Hosted by the situation.
Right, exactly. Hosted by the situation.
But here's something just, I guess, you know, in conclusion is, so we saw like 2004 where they actually did a actual roast, like you summed it up, of how a roast should roll at the Friars Club. And nothing seemed to be off limits. He didn't have reins over what was said or what was not said. And then 2011, he still was able to take a joke just as long as he set the parameters of what that joke would be. The same year, 2011, Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner roasted Donald without any parameters being set on what could be said, you know, digging into the things that how Trump was one of the leading advocates that, you know, maybe Obama wasn't born in America, and conjured up a fake birth certificate for a long time, leading the birther movement. Which brings us to modern day, to the White House Correspondents' Dinners, where Trump just refuses to go. Oh, and even just as a side note, we forgot all about the Al Smith dinner, where Trump roasted Hillary Clinton. And he actually elicited boos. Did you see the Al Smith dinner?
No.
I wasn't really sure if Hillary was going to be here tonight, because I guess you didn't send her invitation by email. Or maybe you did, and she just found out about it through the wonder of WikiLeaks.
Oh, yeah, it's a charity dinner for this Catholic charity dinner. It was like the day or two after one of the debates, and he and Hillary were in attendance, and it's all for charity, not just Donald Trump. The charity's me. It's like for actual charity, and Trump roasted Hillary where it wasn't jokes. It was just lock her up type quips.
Yeah.
And so, but then, you know,
Hillary.
Yeah, dude, it's just shit like that. And so, again, I guess through that trajectory course of from Friars Club to, you know, Obama roasting him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner to, you know, his time dealing with the writers of Comedy Central, you can see there's not a chance in hell he would be roasted at present day at the White House Correspondents' Dinner or even attempt.
No. No, sir.
And then you understand the whole mindset of that he tweets, like, you know, a day afterward, unfunny comedian bombs.
Yeah, no. Oh, God. I think, man, I think you know what we need right now? We need the situation to take us off stage, man.
We need to go for jello shots with the situation.
Down in the Jersey Shore, dude.
Yeah, with our shirts off to cheer us up.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, I feel
dirty now.
Anything you'd like to plug, my friend?
Well, just the usual. We got This Is the President. Is a new episode's up. Harmon was my last guest. We talked about LBJ and his dog. We get some more stuff coming up, more exciting episodes. So be sure to subscribe to This Is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Last.fm, and everywhere you can find your favorite podcasts.
Yes, and if you like Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy, three ways you can support us. A, you can subscribe on iTunes. B, leave a comment. We will read your comments on air. It's always good to get some Comedy History 101 podcast listener love, so you can leave a comment that way. Third way, you can actually donate to the podcast. On our webpage, we actually have a place where you can donate, and it gives us a little more time to put into each episode. And things I have to plug, I have a new book out called Meet the Deplorables Infiltrating Trump America. You can find it on Amazon. And with that, anything else, Scott?
Get a locker up, Crooked Hillary. Give me some lock pizza. Her up. My dad was in the KKK.
Build a wall. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right,
I'm trumped out. Bye bye.
Bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.